Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to bring something to your attention. There's a young man named Jack from Sunset. He graduated in May. It's actually spelled like the French way, Jacques. But we're in America, so we say Jack. And Jack is 25 years old, and he graduated in May. He was born with cerebral palsy. And he lives his life in a wheelchair. He's a very sweet man, a good speaker. Abby's met him before. Also, Sandy Zimmerman, you know him. You could vouch for him. He's a very good speaker, but his strength is working with youth. And he's living in Oklahoma now. He has a deep desire to come to the Northeast. The logistics of having him here are enormous. Something that, you know, you just got to work some details out, but he'd really like to be able to come here. And I need somebody, and he could help a lot of the congregations in the area. He has his own vehicle. He would need a driver, but I would like to set up a small committee of individuals who would have a heart for doing something like this, who would be able to, I'd be able to put you in contact to help work out these logistics for him to come here. He'd be a tremendous asset to our area. He has a heart that wants to come to the Northeast. He wants to make a difference for Christ. I even asked the people at Golden Living on Thursday at the Bible study. I told them about him. I said, how would you feel having a 25-year-old literally on your level in a wheelchair here to encourage you? And they thought that would be absolutely splendid. I need some, just a few people who would have an interest in helping work out the logistics to make this happen. And if you could talk with me after church, I would really appreciate that, because I can't take this one on. I could help him once he gets here, but it's just hard. I'm not good with working with things like this. And so please, doesn't matter if you're male or female, please come up to me after, and I want to assemble you and get this ball rolling, because he's anxious to get over here. And also, my mom sends her greetings. She's watching this morning. She had a retina tear that was repaired. So she has her head down looking at the Kindle. Good morning, Mom. She appreciates your calls and your prayers. Some of you had called her. You're really her church family. And so she has to, it'll be about 2 to 3 months before she regains most of her sight out of that eye. And she does appreciate your love and concern. I want to cover a topic today, not only this morning, but this evening, that I think is incredibly important to the Christian. As I said once, I'll say so again, that I try to write lessons that mean something to me first. If it doesn't mean anything to me, I'm not going to give you scraps. And I wrote this lesson. It's titled The Christian's Joy. And Jesus said in John 15, verse 11, "These things I have written or spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full." He said again in John 16, 24, "so that your joy may be full." John said in 2 John chapter 12, or verse 12, "I hope to come to you and speak face to face that your joy may be full." I think it's obvious that Christians' lives should be filled with joy, but that isn't always the case. In fact, that's rarely the case. What's the definition of joy? What is joy, and why should the Christian be filled with it? Well, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, joy is defined as a feeling of great happiness. And the Layman's Bible Encyclopedia defines joy as the emotion excited by the acquisition or expectation of good, pleasure caused by good fortune, or the like, gladness, delight. It basically means to be happy, a great happiness. It's a word that appears in one form or another, such as rejoice, rejoicing, joy, joyous, hundreds of times in the Bible. And joy is definitely a popular concept in Christianity. It is necessary, though, to look deeper in order to make the best application. There are two different types of joy in the Bible. Number one, there is the emotion of joy. The emotion of joy. This is the one that we are most familiar with. It's the feeling that's brought forth of well-being, success, good fortune. A person automatically experiences it when certain favorable conditions are there. We have many examples of this emotion of joy in the Bible. Here are just a few. If you go to Luke chapter 15, you'll see that the parable of the lost sheep, that shepherd who lost his sheep, went out and found him, and it says that he experienced the emotion of joy when he found his lost sheep. And then the next parable, the woman who lost the coin out of the headdress from her wedding, when she searched the house diligently, trying to find it, similar to a woman who lost her diamond out of her wedding ring, when she found it, she celebrated with joy and told all her neighbors of the great and happy things that happened to her. In the third parable, the prodigal son, the father rejoiced upon his son's return. And by the end, the father is explaining to the eldest son, who didn't really have it, the joy. He said, "But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live. He was lost and has been found." In all three cases, nobody said, "Thou shalt have joy." It was a natural emotion that came from the circumstances that were being experienced. And all people, you know, we can have that type of joy, whether you're Christian or not. The birth of a new child, the bonus in a paycheck, a good report from a doctor, an encouraging letter from a friend can all be experienced by Christians and non-Christians alike. We share that. That's our human nature. Just like we have joy today, they had it during the days of the New Testament as well. It's a human trait. When a woman was healed by Jesus in Luke 13, 16, and 17, says the entire crowd was rejoicing at the glorious things that had been done by him. They were rejoicing. They were so happy for this lady. And when the apostles saw Jesus ascend into heaven in Luke chapter 24, quote, they worshiped him, after worshiped him, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Because their friend who was dead is now alive, and he's at the right hand of the Father. They were really happy. The Gentile Christians found out that they would not have to be circumcised in Acts chapter 15. Wow! They were happy. Wouldn't you be happy, guys, if you found that out? They rejoice because of its encouragement. So, you know, when the woman who heard the news that Jesus was risen from the dead in Matthew 28, what did they do? They left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report this to the disciples. Joy is something that has been around since the beginning of mankind. It'll be around till the end of mankind. Joy is a fact of life. And it's easy to feel joy when the circumstances surrounding our lives are good. It's awesome when everything just falls into place. It's easy to be happy, but have you noticed in life everything doesn't fall into place? It falls out of place usually. Our lives go through the second law of thermodynamics, where everything is in the process of decay, destruction, and disintegration. Well, that's when we have to remember there is the command of joy. Oftentimes, worldly conditions around us do not generate the emotion of joy. Conditions of our life might hinder the happiness which God wants in our hearts. In these cases, there is not the emotion of joy, but the emotion of sadness. But we have to remember joy is a command as well. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says, "Rejoice always." That's imperative. It doesn't say, "Well, this is an optional thing." It's imperative. He says in 1 Peter 4:13, "Keep on rejoicing." In 2 Corinthians 13:11, "Finally, brethren, rejoice." Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice. We're commanded to rejoice. He expects his people to rejoice in every circumstance, whether we feel like it or not. I can promise you, there are many circumstances that will rob us of joy if we let it. But we have the command in that case to rejoice. Listen to the attitude of Paul in 2 Corinthians 6, 4 through 10. Think about this. He talks about endurance, afflictions, hardships, distresses, beatings, imprisonments, labors, sleeplessness, hunger. He talks about all these different conditions that come into his life. I mean, he was beaten. He was shipwrecked. I mean, those are not happy times. They're never happy times. Go out and get in a car wreck. Go out and have something happen. Will you follow the command to rejoice? But listen to what Paul said. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. It didn't matter what the situation that he was in. He always found the need to obey the command of joy. But I don't feel like it. Well, you're commanded to. But what, there's a difference between the emotion of joy and the command of joy. We're also under that same position as even Paul. There are some things that we should never rejoice over, though. Make sure it's not a false rejoice. For example, in 1 Kings 21, King Ahab rejoiced over the stolen vineyard of Naboth. And the idolatrous Israelites, when they built the golden calf, they, quote, rejoiced, Acts 7:41 recalls. 1 Corinthians 13:6, we should not rejoice in unrighteousness. Proverbs 17:5 warns against rejoicing over the calamity of others. Proverbs 24, verse 17, do not rejoice when your enemy falls. You remember all those people who stood out in front of the White House and celebrated when Osama bin Laden was killed? That wasn't biblical. We should have been sad. We should have been sad because his fate was sealed. We should never rejoice over something like that. I know he knocked down buildings, he killed people, but it's all sad. We should never find rejoicing in something that God says don't rejoice. The command of joy is a mindset. It's a mindset. Since we typically have no difficulty with the emotion of joy, that's just uncontrollable. We have to understand that the command of joy is a mindset. It's easy to feel joy when things are great, but most moments in life, it doesn't work that way. How do you obey the command of joy when facing the trials of life? We have to remember it is a mindset. It's a mindset. It says in James 1 verse 2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into various trials. Knowing this, that the testing of your faith produces endurance. It doesn't make sense when we read it. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. That makes no sense. Doug, count it all joy when you're cut off in traffic. Chris, count it all joy when you stub your toe on the wall. Faye, now, count it all joy when your knees hurt. We don't do that by nature. That is pure command. And here James is saying, listen, when something horrible happens in your life, you better have joy. Peter says something similar. In this you greatly rejoice even now for a little while. If necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Even now, he says, you greatly rejoice. They were sawing people's heads off back then. Woo! I'm happy! How can you be happy? The Greek philosopher Epicurus taught centuries before, when times get tough, that we were to think of the happy times. We were to transport our mind to the good times. In his final illness, in terrible pain, his followers came, his students. And what did he do? He encouraged his followers about all those wonderful discussions they had in the classroom, all those good times that they shared. This was the same strategy that Paul taught to the Greek following individuals. In Philippians 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is anything of excellence and anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2, therefore you have been raised with Christ. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. The command of joy is to take our minds to the joyous thoughts, to the happy place. You're creating an environment for which the emotion of joy can exist. That's what's happening. You have all this terrible stuff going on around in your life. Go to your happy place. And then the emotion of joy will come. God wants, there's nothing wrong with the emotion of joy. But it will not happen if we don't follow the commands of joy. We are not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed through the renewing of our mind. We have to have the attitude of joy in all circumstances. The command of joy is much tougher to maintain than the emotion. But if we keep the command, the emotion will always follow. I want to bring attention to Jennifer Crowden. I got her permission. And Jennifer, as you know, like so many other ladies in the congregation, she is fighting a battle of breast cancer. And have you noticed she's been pretty joyous in the whole thing?
Yes.
I mean, she really has. And you have nice hair, too. And anyway, but the point is, peace, man, I know. Turn, no. But the point is that, you know, every time I've called to check on her, she's been really, really happy. And that's because she has chosen to have an attitude of joy. Not to get down.
Yes.
To see the bigger picture. And doctors actually say that you have a better chance of beating something if you're encouraged and are happy.
Yes, sir.
You do. And I commend you for that. Here's some ways to obey the command of joy. Now tonight we're going to have a lesson how to identify and deal with joy suckers. Okay? You got to come tonight. Free food, you'll see. Okay? How to identify and deal with joy suckers. Okay? Because everybody has sucked joy from somebody else, and everybody has gotten joy sucked from them by somebody else. That's got to stop. Okay? You might be saying, I've never sucked joy from anybody. Yes, you have. Your mere denial is very displeasing. Okay? But how do we go through the motions of joy? It's through our interactions with each other. It's through the interactions with each other. Many times when things are not going well, there's a tendency to carry that burden alone. Let's just heap it on. I'll take it back to my closet and I'll just go ahead and dwell in it. Fellowship with other Christians is one of the greatest ways to gain joy. For joy is something that's shared. That's called rejoicing. So it's used joy. Okay? You have joy, and now you're redoing it. Okay? It's sort of like good news. Okay? If you hear something really great, and you go share it with somebody, now you have joy, and they have joy. It didn't cost you anything. You're rejoicing. Like re-gifting. You're just rejoicing. Philippians 2, verse 17 and 18, the verse that Chris read, but even if I'm being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, Paul's in prison. He doesn't know if his life's about to end. The drink offering's poured out. The glass is almost empty. Same way Jesus emptied himself earlier in chapter 2. And what does he say? I rejoice. Oh, and I share my joy with you all. And then he says, and you too, I urge you to rejoice with me and share your joy with me. It's like Joyce. We're sharing Joyce. Can you have too much joy? Can you really have too much joy? Can't have that. He told the Corinthians, having confidence in you, that my joy would be the joy of you all. 2 Corinthians 2:3. Joy is meant to be shared with others. 2 Timothy 1:4. Paul says, longing to see you so that I may be filled with joy. Philippians 4:1. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown. 1 Thessalonians 2:20, for you are our glory and joy. Philemon 7, for I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love. Brothers and sisters, we are the key to happiness through Christ. We are. That's why he makes us all wait to go to heaven. We all get to go together. Despite what some religions teach. That's why we sing when we all get to heaven. It's a group effort. So what are the ways to interact and share our love, our joy with another? How do we carry out the command of joy? Four simple things. Four simple things that I want to bring up. Number one, prayer to God. Prayer to God. Philippians 4, verse 4, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. Prayer and joy go hand in hand. Philippians 4, verse 4 through 6, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer is an excellent way to do it. We need to be praying together. We really should. I haven't done it in a while. I need to. But let us all just take one time. Just write one letter this week. Write an email to somebody. Write your prayer out for somebody to God. Put it in an envelope. Mail it to them. That's what Paul did. He mailed his prayer to them. Imagine the joy that you would have. There was a family many years ago that couldn't have any kids. And I remember I wrote a knee-mail to them. I call them knee-mails because they're prayer mails. And I wrote them an email. I sent it to them. I not only prayed that they would be able to have a child, but I prayed for that child to grow up healthy. I prayed for that child to also have things go well for that. A child. I also prayed for that child's spouse, that he or she would be prepared in the Lord and that he or she would be a good spouse to continue on a legacy of faith. That family had a child down the road, and in the front of that baby book, even before the announcement of the birth, they have that knee mail taped right in that book. They rejoiced with it. And I rejoiced when I heard about that. And now you're rejoicing because I told you about that. Prayer is a wonderful, wonderful thing to do. Also, the Holy Scriptures. Dwell in the Holy Scriptures. Study the Bible together. If you're missing Bible class on Sunday morning, I mean, if there's something on TV or you stayed up too late, go to bed earlier, come to class, because those things generate joy. Mike Reeves did a wonderful job in the Bible study this morning. If 1 John 1:4 says, these things I write unto you that your joy may be made complete. If the Christians never read it, they wouldn't have the joy that John intended them to have. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. We need to be dwelling in the word. Make a commitment to maybe share some Bible verses. In that letter that you're writing, write down some Bible verses for them to maybe mutually memorize. Don't just put Jesus wept. Okay, you got that one memorized. Pick something that is even more meaningful to that individual. And then sharing good news is yet another one. The sharing of good news is a great way to have joy. In Luke 10:17, when the 70 returned that Jesus sent out, they returned with joy. In Acts 13:48, when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. In Acts 15:3, it said they were bringing great joy to all the brethren. What were they doing? They were bringing good news. Philippians 1:18, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is proclaimed. It's not just even sharing the good news of Christ. It's sharing the stories that you hear. It's sharing the joy that you had when you share a baptism with somebody, when you share somebody who's getting better now, when I just shared you a story about Jennifer. If you don't know her, you want to go meet her because she's going to move soon. She'll be gone probably by Christmas time, right? That's your Christmas gift to the congregation. No, it's not. I mean, there's so many wonderful people here. We have some wonderful visitors here. There's a young lady named Dio, right? Go meet Dio. She's back there. Make sure you corner and meet her. She's coming here to worship with you. There's a lot of great things going on in the kingdom. We need to share that good news. We're the Geico people of the kingdom. I got great news. What, did you save money on your car insurance? No, Joe Blow was baptized into Christ. We have great news. And then one more, singing hymns. Singing hymns. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ richly dwell in you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. And we're also told in Ephesians 5:19, speaking one to another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You know, we let the word of Christ richly dwell in us when we sing. Have you noticed happy people sing? I mean, sad people can sing too, like the blues or stuff like that. But, you know, happy people sing. They do. We had that song that was sung earlier that Russell led. Let's look at the words of it closely. You know, if the skies above you are gray, they're blue today, but they could be gray tomorrow, and you are feeling so blue, what should I do? If your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver lining that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see it, my friend. Trust in his promises grand. Sing and you'll be happy today. Press along to the goal. Trust in him who leadeth the way. He will keep your soul. Let the world know where you belong. Look to Jesus and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today. You know, one of the things I do, I have one of those little Jonathan, one of those little pocket praise things. I had Jonathan put a cover on one. I keep it in my vehicle. And sometimes when I'm feeling really down, because I can't sing well, if I'm out on a country road, I'll pull it out and I'll sing. God knows what I meant. Holy Spirit can fix it. But I'll sing. Sometimes when I hear a song sung here, I'll be singing it on the way home. I pulled up to a stoplight one time coming back from church, and there was a song that really touched me, and I was really happy to hear it. I was thinking on the words, and I was kind of singing it, and I had my window down, and there was a guy who pulled up next to me. He was just looking. Sing and be happy today. Hey, just came from church. He just heard him, almost went through the red light. But singing is a great way to do that. Now, tonight, what I want to cover, and I recommend that you come back tonight.
But I'm not happy to come back tonight.
Well, we're going to identify joy suckers. Amen. And how to deal with them. And everybody's guilty of doing it and being victims of it. But if we stop it, imagine how much greater it would be for everyone. Okay? So come back tonight. We're going to cover some examples of joy suckers, how to deal with it, how to build that cocoon of protection around us in the commands of joy. And then let's go for the goal of making sure our joy will be full. Okay? If you need to respond to the invitation at all, it's approximately 2 minutes past my preaching time. Do so in a spirit of haste.